Last week when we showed that video and I saw it, just the power in the video that when we were putting together the series, we had no idea how much some of those images would look like what we are seeing on our TV screens or our social media feeds. And it's just a reminder that this is us. The book of Genesis is us, and we have been walking through the book of Genesis in the month of October. Hopefully, some of you all have been reading the book of Genesis with us, and we've talked in the groups I've been connected with that are reading the book of Genesis. We talked about, like, you don't want to get ahead. You don't want anybody to tell you something that you've not read yet, because it is like you are watching, I'll use maybe an old term, a soap opera play out, and the power in being able to interact with that. We want to remind you about the Bible reading plan. If you're like, I haven't been doing it, like, you could start tomorrow where we are. That would be okay, because the story in tomorrow's Bible reading plan is the story we will talk about today, and the power of engaging in Scripture. We started a couple of weeks ago with our backstory in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that we are first and foremost God's creation. I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I see lots of things that may be different than they used to be, but I look in the mirror. But when we look in the mirror, the first thing we ought to see is God's creation, because that's who we are. We are gods. And like Adam and Eve, we have that part of us that we may have everything we need. We want more, and we want what we can't have. And we would never say that we want to be God. And yet we do like control and do like to make our decisions and almost be what we could say God-like. The second week, so that is our backstory. This is our promise, is in the story of Abraham, that the God who said to Abraham, I will be your God, that is our God as well. And last week was hard, because we looked at the problem, not just the problem of those people back in Genesis, but our problem too, that we are motivated by self, that it is our way or the highway. And today, we arrive at this is our hope. And we're going to arrive at this is our hope through a story about a wrestling match. I don't know about you. I don't know what you think of when you think of wrestling, or is it wrestling? Is that how we say it? I don't know. Well, I am catapulted back to the 1970s. I know for some of you all, you're old enough to be my parents or my siblings, or I'm old enough to be your mom or grandmother. I know, I got it. But the 70s, and I could describe our basement room where I watched wrestling as a kid. It did not have shag carpet. I will go ahead and declare that. But I can remember watching it, and I didn't understand it, and it was just entertainment. And that was back when we had how many stations? Three. We had three stations. So the options were not limitless at that time. When I got to know wrestling, like ING, more, was in high school, and I played sports. I was not a wrestler, though. I will go ahead and say that as well. But I played basketball, and the JV teams, we moved to a new school my junior year in high school, and that school building had an auxiliary gym. So teams were able to practice simultaneously. Before that, JV girls and boys basketball teams took week about having either 6:30 a.m. practice. Yes, that's what we did. That was a sacrifice we made. And then, or it was an evening practice. It was like at 5:30, and we were on half of the gym, and the wrestling team was on the other half. And I marveled at them, because they worked a whole lot harder than we did. And then they wore these suits that made them sweat a whole lot more than we did. And it was all about this process of gain or being at weight to be able to wrestle. And then this is my evolution of wrestling, in case you're wondering what's going on here. And then being an educator in a high school, watching our wrestling team and realizing that there are these incredible techniques that you use in wrestling to get leverage. Like, it's this technique to gain leverage, to gain power over another. Our story today is the story of Jacob wrestling with God. But let's do a little background of where we left off last week. We have this conflict between Jacob and Esau, the brothers. And Jacob fooled Esau into giving Jacob his, or Isaac's blessing. And what comes out of this is Esau says, I'm going to kill my brother. Jacob's mom says, you better get out of town. This is Brooke's paraphrase. You better get out of town. And he leaves. And what happens when Jacob leaves is he goes to his uncle and lives there for years. And in that time frame, he has 11 sons and one daughter that is noted in the book of Genesis. These children come from his wife's sister, and their servants. I told you it was a soap opera. It's worthy of reading. In Genesis 31, the Lord comes to Jacob and instructs him to return to the land of his fathers, which is to return to where his brother lives. In Genesis 32, Jacob prays to the God of Abraham and Isaac, to his grandfather, the God of his father and his grandfather, which is an interesting thing because in that he doesn't claim that it is the God, his God. He's still, we could go down this path of looking at, is he worshiping, is he connected to God that is someone else for now, till it becomes his. He says in his prayer that he's not worthy. He petitions God to save him from his brother's hands. And then there is the evidence that he is afraid. Have you ever been in a conflict with someone that you were afraid to see them, afraid to be in conversation with them? So we are set up where Jacob sends his family on and he remains alone. And that is where we pick up our story in Genesis 32. So Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob says, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed Jacob there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Have you ever wrestled with God? Likely the answer is yes. I mean, honestly, we may be wrestling with God right now. We may be wrestling over something that is new, that is going on in our life, or we could be wrestling over something that happened years, decades ago. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a loss of a relationship. It could be a loss of health. It could be a loss of a job that we thought we deserved. The losses are many. And what we see in the story of Jacob is he has to wrestle with God first before he goes to meet Esau, who he has the conflict with, wrestling with God comes first, yet often is last. How many of us have spent days, months, years wrestling with people, institutions, wrestling internally with something that has happened, when in actuality, what we need to do first and foremost is to wrestle with God? For some of us, it is this fear that that's not a Christian thing to do, to wrestle with God, because in our wrestling, it is oftentimes rooted in our doubts and our fears. And yet in that, we must wrestle. Like Jacob, he had to wrestle with God before he went to meet his brother who he was in conflict with. What about you? What is it that you are focused on wrestling with? How is your focus on people, places, things, institutions that you are wrestling with? And yet what you need is you need to wrestle with God. What is that about each of us? We also can distract in our denial of wrestling with God. We do everything but. Have you ever had those times in your lives where you're so busy and all of a sudden you have this pause? It can even be as simple as there are some days, it's like my routine is like boom, 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 boom. I get in the car to drive home and all of a sudden I start thinking about something that happened at 8:30 in the morning because I hadn't had time to even process it yet. We do that in our wrestling, that we say busy so we don't have to wrestle with God. Where are we in our wrestling? Wrestling with God comes when all else is removed, in the solitude and the fear that accompanies our powerlessness. It's connected to the first thing about we do all these things, but it is in the solitude. It says in the scripture that Jacob is alone. He isn't surrounded with people or noise. He is alone with God. You see, even Jacob, as we see in the verses before the ones I read, Jacob has a plan. He institutes a plan about how to address being with Esau. He prays to God, and yet there needs to still be that time that he spends with God. He's in fear. Do you have those times? Are you having those times now? In the dark of night, in the solitude, when it's just you and God. And we realize in those moments the depths of our powerlessness. And that is such good news. But getting to the good news can take a while, and it can be overwhelming at times. Some of the hardest and most beautiful examples I have seen in my own life and in others' lives of this wrestling with God that takes place, and the admission, the surrendering of our powerlessness has come as I have experienced and watched others experience their own addiction, our own addiction. And by that, I mean because sometimes we automatically go ahead and click our mind off and go, this doesn't apply to me. But our addictions can be the classic ones. They can be to alcohol, and they can be to drugs. They can be to food. They can be to gambling and shopping and pornography, to name just a few. And what we know based on quantitative data and qualitative data is none of us are left untouched by addiction, whether it's our own or our loved ones. And I have seen and experienced the wrestling. The wrestling that the person has with whatever it is that we are addicted to, and how it overcomes us and it overwhelms us. And we wrestle. we wrestle. And I have watched as loved ones, as I have experienced as a loved one, as we watched our loved ones in the depths of their addiction, and we try everything we can to help them, to fix them, to control them or the thing they are addicted to, and we wrestle. And then I have seen the beauty that comes in the diversity of accepting our powerlessness, whether it is over our own addiction or our loved one's addiction. And for some of us who are hearing these words today, we're still wrestling. We haven't yet got to the wrestling God yet, but the power in wrestling with God, and that He is big enough to withstand our wrestling, our questioning, our anger, our frustration, and our questions. But that wrestling, it comes in the solitude and the fear and the acceptance of our powerlessness. And as we see in Jacob's story, wrestling with God climaxes with recognition that it is God who we've come face to face with. Excuse me. Have you ever had those moments in the dead of night, in your loneliness or that solitude, when we're not sure what we're wrestling and we realize it is God? I honestly don't remember how long ago it was. I would say 10 to 12 years ago, I went to this Beth Moore event at Thompson Bowling Arena with some friends, and it was a powerful event in ways that I had preconceived ideas in it. It blew away my preconceived ideas. It was a powerful experience. I met God there. Holy Spirit was alive and well. In the group I'd gone with, they were going out to lunch, and I was like, it was one of those times I listened to the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I need to go to the mountains. That's where I like to go for lots of things. But I went to a trail that's pretty accessible in the Smokies right through as you enter in Townsend. And I spent time sitting on this rock reading the scripture that we had talked about, that Beth Moore had shared with us. And then I went on up the trail, and there's this place where you can keep going straight or you cross the river. And I stood in the river and I was like angry. And I don't even know why today, but it was like I got in this yelling match with God. He wasn't yelling back, but I was definitely yelling with Him. And I have no idea who heard it, but I put my hands in the water and I go, "You win. You win, God. You win. I get it. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done." It was this powerful moment of relinquishing and coming face to face with God, that I had blamed the anger on all these external things, and there was legitimacy to that, but yet I had to come face to face with God. And if you're like me, that's not the only times in our lives. And what we see in Jacob's story is he does not leave the wrestling match unaffected, because wrestling with God is evident in our spiritual limp. It says that Jacob limped after this encounter, that his hip was affected by this wrestling match. What's your spiritual limp? What are those things in your lives as you have come face to face with God that you have been changed by, and it affects you? And in our spiritual limps, we get to share about our God. We get to share about how we have come face to face with God and what that is like, how that has transformed us, how there is hope in that as well. And the power of our wrestling is this, is that our wrestling becomes our resting, and there is our hope. I could never be accused of being an art expert or an art amateur for that matter. Yet, time and time again, I get introduced to Rembrandt's paintings as he illustrates God and Jesus. First one I ever was introduced to is through a book by Henri Nouwen called The Return of the Prodigal Son. And it's a painting by Rembrandt that Nouwen writes this book that if it's not the most transformative book, it is definitely one of the top transformative books I've read about God and Jesus. It's a powerful book. And in researching for this sermon, I found out Rembrandt painted about Jacob wrestling with God, and we have the image here. And this is his interpretation. And this was painted after the death of his wife and son as he wrestled with his faith. And if we could leave that up for a moment, I in no way am an art expert, but this is what I'm going to tell you that I see and I've read about. This may not be what we normally consider in a picture, a portrait, a painting of wrestling, but it is in Rembrandt's eyes. As you look at the painting and you look at their faces aren't of anger. In fact, they're kind of soft. The angel of God is holding Jacob up with his hand and his knee. And there is more of an embrace than a technical way of gaining leverage. That's what I think about our hope in wrestling with God. That at some point, the wrestling becomes in resting in the embrace of our God as he holds us up and he reminds us how much he loves us. So much so that he went to the cross for each and every one of us. And so our wrestling becomes our resting. But first, we gotta wrestle. It's necessary. And our powerlessness is at the root of it. And we find ourselves face to face with God. And we have these spiritual limps. And yet, there comes these moments when we realize that God is embracing us and we are resting in him. And therein is the hope, our hope. Let's be honest, Jacob was not a guy who left this wrestling match and his life was perfect after that. And he was this faithful servant of God from that. He, like you and I, have character defects that play out and continue to play out. Yet in this story of Jacob, we see ourselves. We see our backstory. We see our promise. We see our problem. And we see our hope in our God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are big enough that we wrestle with you and it becomes this opportunity for us to realize our powerlessness, to see you face to face, to be able to tell about the times we have wrestled with you and to rest in you. Thank you. Thank you for being our God. Into your hands, may your will, let our will be done. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.